Hello, church. How we doing?
Good. I just want to say praise God for this church. There are amazing things happening. Lives are being changed each and every week. I think our average right now is we have a baptism a week, and that is incredible. Lives are being changed because of the work of this church. Yes. My name is Zach Hand. I get to serve as the student pastor here at New Life. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to just open God's Word with you today. And we're going to study it. We're going to pull what we can from it that's going to apply for our daily lives. And it's God's Word, so it's useful to us. So praise God for that. When I was a sophomore in high school, I went on a spring break mission trip to the country of Honduras. So I was about 16 years old, and I'll admit right up front, all my intentions were bad for going on this mission trip. That sounds ridiculous, but I was not going for the right reasons. I was going for a girl. I'll readily admit that was the case. That girl is not my wife, so it really didn't work out all that well. But I went on the mission trip anyway. My youth ministers at that time, they told me, hey, you're going to be doing one of the morning devos. You're going to be giving this Bible lesson to some of the ministers and some of the workers, the directors there at the mission. I said, all right, great. They gave me about a month to work on it, and so I was, plenty of time to get it done. But I was a sophomore in high school. You can guarantee I did not get that done. I did not take that opportunity. I was much more concerned with sports, friends, and literally anything else but this lesson, but this Devo. So it comes time for us to leave for our trip. We're getting ready to get on the plane, and it was still not done. We get on the plane, and it pops into my mind, oh, I've never done a Devo like this before. I don't actually know how to do it. I should probably start now. And that's what I did. So I poured myself into this Devo, all my best thinking. I just poured myself into it, and 3 to 5 minutes later, my 10-minute Devo was done. It was done. It was probably the best Devo I could have given under the pressing circumstances of I only had a 2-hour flight to get it done. So, and I didn't even take all that time. What was I doing? I have no idea what I was doing. But it was done. It was done. Now, it was probably no good. If I'm being honest, I don't really know. I procrastinated so long, I didn't even run through it before I gave it in front of like 30 people. So who knows how good it actually was. I just threw something together. I was not a very good steward of the time I had been given. God had given me a task through my youth ministers, and I was not a good servant of that time. I waited. I continued to wait, and I think that's the lesson I learned from this story is that, my gosh, I was not a very good steward of my time. I was not a very good steward of this resource that God had given me, this resource of time. This idea of stewardship is a very famous biblical idea. This is one we talk about very often in Christian circles, but I want to simplify it. What I mean when I say stewardship is this, is being a good, faithful, and wise servant of the resources that God has entrusted to us. That's what I mean. When I say stewardship, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, my example is a harmless example, but perhaps a helpful one to understanding this idea of being a good steward, a good servant of the resources that God has given to us. And I look back on this story and I thank God for grace. Amen. And we'll get into some of what I'm talking about towards the end of our time together. Before we open God's word and we begin to study it, we must recognize something about people, us. We have to recognize something about us. This idea of being wise stewards or servants of the resources that we've been given is not easy, nor are people very naturally good at it. It's kind of something we have to be taught in our minds to understand. When I say this phrase, resources, I want us to all be on the same page. So this is what I mean when I say resources. I'm going to separate it into two separate sections, physical resources and spiritual resources. Our physical resources is things like our money. So literally like what you have in your pockets, what you have in your wallets, your debit card, your checks, whatever is good as money. That's what I'm talking about. Our time, literally the time in the day that you have that God has given to you, each and every moment is a resource given to you by God. And even our energy, our bodies that we get to use are a resource, a gift that God has given to each and every one of us to be used to his glory. That's what I mean when I say resources. But what we need to recognize about people is that people can be given everything. They can be given the most money, the most time. They can live for many, many years and they can waste it all. The second section that I want to talk about is our spiritual resources, the spiritual resources that God has given to each and every one of us, which is our gifts, our talents, and our abilities. This is what God has given you that you are good at. We're good at something. Maybe you're good with numbers. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you have a mechanical mind. You can work on cars. You can work on homes, electrical, all that kind of stuff. I can't do any of that, so I might call in your help if that's you. But we can look at all kinds of different people throughout history that have been given everything and have blown it all. One that specifically came to my mind, I'm a basketball fan, is Allen Iverson. You guys ever heard of Allen Iverson before? He's a famous basketball player, made a lot of money in his time. Made over $200 million playing the game of basketball. Now that's off endorsements, that's contracts, and believe it or not, Allen Iverson blew every bit of that money and he declared bankruptcy. He had literally everything, every bit of clothing he wanted, all the money, all the cars. He had it all. And he blew all of his resources on living a lavish, selfish life. We can even call to mind our country's politicians who have immense influence in our culture, in our society. And what do? They continue to divide us party to party. And they just drag us away from truly gospel values. They have all the influence in the world. You can even look at many of our celebrities. You can look at the celebrities of today. They've got a platform and people look up to them. People listen to them. And what do? All they do is push their own brand, bolster their ego, and tear others down. And push ideas that are completely anti-gospel, anti-good news of what Jesus has done. This is the challenge that each and every one of us is faced with. How are we going to use the resources that God has given to each and every one of us? Our resources, they have eternal value to them. And many use them in selfish, lazy, and wicked ways. So the question I want to ask tonight is this: how can we be good, faithful, and wise stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us until his son's return? That's the question I want us to ask and the question I'm going to want us to answer together. And I hope that this question does one of two things for us. First, I hope it challenges us to use the resources that God has given to us for his kingdom and not our own. And two, confirm some of the ways maybe we're already using our resources in a God-honoring way, but encouraging us to find new ways that we can be good, faithful, and wise stewards of what God has given to us. That's what I hope we can accomplish through today. I think we're prepared in our minds, and I think we need to prepare our hearts for what God is going to do today. So would you join me? We're going to invite God. He's already present, but we're going to invite him to be a part of our study. Would you join me? Father, we thank you for another day of grace. We thank you that you have shown us grace by giving us another day to wake up, to go about our day. Lord, you have blessed us immensely, far beyond what we could ever ask or imagine. So God, please continue to have grace and mercy for us each day. As we go about our days, and we are not perfect. Lord, we need your grace each and every day. Lord, thank you for this church that stands on the word of God and the testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you go ahead and flip to the Gospel of Matthew? It's the very first book in your New Testament. Matthew, to give you a little context, Matthew is writing to a primarily Jewish audience. He's writing to Jewish people, but a first century audience. The story that Jesus is going to tell, the true to life story he's going to tell, is one they would have readily understood. They would have understood what was going on. And we'll get some of the historical background as we begin to dive into this. But we don't want that to distract us from what it means for us to be good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants of our God-given resources. That's what we want. Jesus, he's going to tell the story of three servants and their master. This master is going to distribute different amounts of wealth to these three servants, or talents, as we probably better translated, talents from their master. Two are going to respond in a positive manner, and they're going to work to increase what they have. But one, Jesus is going to call a wicked and lazy servant. We'll do nothing with it, with his resources. So we're in Matthew chapter 25. We will begin in verse 14. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear God's word. Here's what it says. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. We're asking ourselves at this point, wait, what does again mean? What are we talking about here? What he's talking about, this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. The coming of the Lord will be like this. Like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, or talents. To another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold received 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag, we feel the twist here. There's a change. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, and he settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you can hear the excitement. He's proud of what he gets to bring to his master. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. Here you go. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who received one bag of gold came. Master, you maybe can hear the timidity, the fear in his voice. He's just seen these two servants return 100% profit. What is he going to say when all he did was bury the gold? I knew you, that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God for it. This is a hard parable for us sometimes to hear. It does not end on a happy note by any means. This true to life story telling us of a master going away, leaving some of his wealth with some of his servants. This was a common practice. This would have been common amongst people in this day and age. When a master, a very wealthy person, would go away, he would distribute some of his wealth to some of his servants, primarily the ones who kind of kept the house when he was away. But he would distribute this wealth with the hope that they would do something with it while he was away. He gives each of his servants this different amount of gold, these different amounts of talents, according to their ability. And we're not exactly sure what a talent specifically means. It could vary very, very much. It could vary depending on what exactly he's talking about. One writer named Mark Moore puts it this way. The value of a talent would vary greatly depending on whether you have a talent of gold, of silver, or bronze. All we can say for certain is this is a huge amount of money to play with. He's not just dealing out chump change. He's giving out large amounts of money. This is a lot of money that he is giving out, distributing. We've read what each servant decides to do with what they've been given. The two good, faithful, and wise stewards do the good thing. They go and they get to work. You can read it here. The first one, he gets right to work, building what his master has given him. And so they return with 100% profit. And to both of them, this very powerful line is spoken. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. These two good, faithful, and wise servants, because of their faithfulness with just a few things, will now be entrusted with many. They're invited to come share in their master's happiness. This is this stamp of approval. The master approves of what they've done. Good job. Well done. You did what you were supposed to. You got to work. But to this third servant, a very different response. When given his talent, he immediately, without hesitation, runs away, goes, digs a hole in the ground, and hides it. He thinks no one will see it, no one will touch it that way. It's the only way to keep it safe. It's if he goes and he hides it. But when his master returns to settle the accounts, as we read, settling the accounts, meaning this master was expecting them to do something while he was gone. When he shows up, the servant has done nothing. He instead only offers excuses as to why he did nothing. They all truly fall short of justifying any of his actions, the running and the hiding. It's not justifiable. So his master calls him this wicked and lazy servant. Honestly, if the servant had believed that he was in fact the hard man that he was, he should have just gone and done something. He should have just gone and put it on deposit. That's what his master says. But instead, he does nothing. So the master takes the bag away from that third servant and he gives it to the first one, the one he knows he can trust. The servant who chose what is right. And follows that by saying, whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. This is a hard statement. I don't know if you've realized, but in this parable, Jesus is not the ooey-gooey, lovey-dovey Jesus that many have painted him out to be. That is not Jesus. Jesus loves us so much that he would give us the hard truth, and he wouldn't sugarcoat it. He loves us. He wants us to know the truth. This is the Jesus who was willing to speak a hard word to and about his servant when it needs to be said. And he was taken, he was thrown out for being found to be unproductive and an unfaithful servant. Again, a hard scripture for us to receive and even sometimes to understand. But the Lord Jesus tells us these things and told the people at this time for a very specific purpose, to help those who desire to follow Christ so that they might become good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants for his kingdom and not for our own. That's what he wants for each and every one of us. So how do we do that? How can we be good, faithful, and wise stewards until Jesus returns to make things right, to settle accounts? And this is a story that for the first hearers of this, the first people hearing this story, they would have heard it about money. They would have taken, that's the first thing they probably would have pulled. He's talking about money, okay, so this has to do a little bit with my money. God's given me money, what do I do with that? Jesus, not just in our money, but in every aspect of who we are, is trying to teach us how to be good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants of what he's given. In every aspect of our life, just as the master wanted his servants to be productive with the talents, with the money he had given them, he desires the same thing from us. The reason that Jesus tells the story is because we can all be a little bit like the third servant. Sometimes we're given a great physical resource, money, time, and sometimes we waste it. We run and we hide it away, keep it to ourselves. Our great spiritual resources, which we'll get into here in just a little bit, sometimes we take those in our leadership that God's given us. We love God's word. That's a resource. Sometimes we just keep that to ourselves. We hide it away. It's not what God has asked us to do. So let's talk briefly about what it might look like for us, to those of us who want to use our resources to be good, faithful, and wise servants, what that might look like. So let's start with our physical resources. The one that's most clearly applied is money. Now, I want to be very careful about how I speak about money, It is a touchy subject for most, so I want to be careful. But this directly applies a physical gift to a spiritual gift. It's the physical gift is money. A spiritual gift is generosity. We should be living generous lives to all. Be generous with our wealth. Live generous lives for Christ and his kingdom. Give generously to all without an expectation of return. That's a generous life. Give to the needy people you see standing on street corners, yes, but it's not just confined to your pocketbook. It's not just confined to your wallet. That's not living a generous life. Be generous with your time. Time is a very valuable resource. Be generous with it. Be generous with your time and with all the things that God has given to you. If God has given you a beautiful home, a home you can welcome people in, welcome people in. Share a meal with them. Share the gospel with them. It's best shared with food. I can confirm it's best shared with food. God might have gifted you with a mechanical mind to be able to work on cars and work on homes, electrical, HVAC, whatever it is. God has gifted you uniquely. He has not gifted me uniquely to do that. So use it for people like me who have no idea what they're doing. Maybe God has given you the resource of being a spiritual leader. Maybe even a life group leader. We need plenty of life group leaders around this church. We need people who want to lead others into a deeper relationship with Christ. If God has given you that resource, don't waste it. Don't waste it like the third servant wasted his resources. Let's get to work. Let's get to work doing the good work that Jesus has for each and every one of us. Christ perhaps has given you the love of the next generation, for kids and for students. Students, of course, hits home for me. My wife is the kids director. Don't waste the gift. If you're wondering what that looks like, please, let's have a conversation. There are pastors, there are leaders that would love to talk with you about any one of those, being a life group leader, with adults, with students, with kids. Even if you love to meet new people, there is a need for people like you that can make people feel welcome in this church. They feel welcome to step in our doors, come have a seat. They feel loved. First impressions is for you. That is a resource that God has given you. A good personality, a good smile. Use it. Let's get to work. The scripture is telling us our master, Jesus will be coming back at a time when we don't exactly know. A long time, but it could be tomorrow. We must be ready. We must be found to be good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants of Christ. We are saved in Christ by grace through faith. That's the great truth. It is not through our works. And that's the good news, that it's not through our works. But we should be productive while our master is away. Let's get to work. Let's take a second. Let's think about and ponder on this question. What gifts and resources has God entrusted to me? What has he entrusted to me? What are the resources God has given to me that he invites me to put into use now? How might I be a good, faithful, and wise steward of what God has entrusted to me? What would it look like this next week if I just took one step to being a better servant? A good, wise, and faithful servant. What would it look like if I just took one step closer? What would that one step be? Either as a husband or a wife? a father or a mother, a brother or a sister, a cousin or a friend, how could we be better servants over those relationships, even with our coworkers? How can we be a good servant of Christ this next week? Just this next week. Let's make it simple. This next week, how can we do that? And if we begin to adopt that mindset of being good, faithful, and wise stewards of the resources that God has given to us, both physical and spiritual, we would begin to see a church and our world change to be committed, obedient servants of Christ, living that kind of life for Jesus. We would see this community of good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants rise out of our community, that we would be seen as different from our self-centered, self-seeking, safe world, that instead we would take risks for the gospel, for the good news of Christ, and we would be faithful with the resources that God has given to us. Even our community is a resource God has given to us. And there are people in our area code who do not know the good news. And we can change that. John Piper is a preacher who has become very well known for his passion for God and his word. He preached a sermon in the year 2000 at the Passion Conference, a very well-known conference for young adults, 18 to 25-year-olds. And he was preaching this sermon on boasting only in the cross, but not the whole sermon has become famous. It's this one clip that has become very famous. And in this clip, Piper talks about two women, Laura and Ruby. Laura and Ruby were in their 80s. These were women that he knew from his church. They were in their 80s, and they had decided, they were single women, they decided to leave behind the life that they knew, and they decided to move to Cameroon to serve as missionaries, sharing the good news, but also medically caring for the people of Cameroon. So they go to Cameroon, and they're serving faithfully over there, and in the morning that John Piper got up to preach his message, he got news that they were driving to a village to go care for the people, the sick that were in this other village. And on their way, their brakes stopped working. And they went over the side of a cliff. And they tragically passed away. And he got that news the day of. And you can kind of hear the hush come over the crowd. It's silence. And John Piper asks, is this a tragedy? We would all say, yeah, it's a tragedy. These faithful women died. He boldly then says, that is not a tragedy. I'll show you a tragedy. He pulls out a copy of Reader's Digest. Now, I don't read Reader's Digest. I don't know how many of us do. If you do, that's great. I'm so happy for you. But I'm not going to read Reader's Digest. Pulls out Reader's Digest and opens to an article. And this is the title of that article. Start Now, Retire Early. Tells the story of Bob and Penny. Bob and Penny, they had worked really hard, and so they retired at 59 and 51 years old. Sounds really good to many of us. It sounds good at the beginning. It really does. And here's what they spent the rest of their life doing. They went out and they bought a 30-foot trawler. So they just went sailing, went boating. They spent a part of their time playing softball. Sounds like fun. And they collected seashells. That's how they spent the rest of their life. Those were the main highlights of this. And John gets to the end of describing this story of Bob and Penny, and he says, that is a tragedy. That is a tragedy. Because as the Bob and the Pennies of the world, their master returns, and they are face to face with their creator, what do they have to show from their last chapter of their life? Got my seashell collection over here. Got my wall right here. My boat's over here. Check out my boat. I'll show you some pictures of me playing softball. Here you go. Jesus, King of Kings. I would have to agree with John Piper. That is a tragedy. That these people whom God had given such great resources as to retire early chose to truly do nothing. They did nothing with the end of their life. Their last chapter. But what if we were different? What if we were good, faithful, and wise stewards and servants of what God has given to us? If God has given you the ability to retire early, use it to His glory. What a great, great gift. Sharing God's good news at every opportunity. That's a good gift, and the ability that we have to do so. I told you the story at the beginning of our time of me as a sophomore in high school being a bad servant, a bad steward of an opportunity that had been given to me. A great opportunity. And I thanked God for grace, and I'll tell you exactly why. Eventually, I did share that Devo. I gave it. Again, probably wasn't very good. Surely wasn't very good, but I shared it anyway. And after I got done sharing, some of the ministers and the directors of this mission all came up to me. They all looked me in the eyes, and they all said the same thing. You should be a preacher. You should be a preacher. Long story short, God used my example of bad stewardship and being really a bad servant as an opportunity to show me such a better plan than I even had for myself. And I praise God for grace, that He had grace on a 16-year-old who had no idea what he was actually doing. So let's answer the question that I asked at the beginning of our time. How can we be good, faithful, and wise servants and stewards of the resources that God has entrusted to us until His Son returns? How can we do that? And here's how I think we do it. We can do that by using every resource that our Master, Jesus, has entrusted us with as an opportunity to glorify Him and being ready for His return on that final day, so that at that final day, King Jesus might look us in the eye and He might say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank You each and every day for grace, for another day that we get to wake up. Lord, You have blessed us beyond measure, beyond what we actually deserve. Lord, we are sinners in need of grace. And we thank You that through Your Son, Jesus, You have given us that grace eternally. We have an opportunity. And God, You have given us so many resources, physically and spiritually, that we might go out and we might use them to Your glory and to the glory of Christ in all of the churches. And we pray this in that name, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.